We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Heard a story about a young man who was, or heard a story about a policeman who was driving across a bridge one day, and he came across this young man who was obviously getting ready to leap into the cold waters far below in order to commit suicide. The policeman, knowing that he would have to think quickly, asked the young man what was wrong. The young man said, "Life was hopeless, worthless. There's no reason to live. I just want to throw in the towel and end it all." Policeman said, "Give me 10 minutes. I'll give you 5 minutes to tell me why life has no meaning, value, or significance, but then you got to give me 5 minutes to tell you why it does." Young man thought 10 minutes wouldn't make that great a difference, so he said, "Okay." And he began to postulate the emptiness of life, talking about how crude life was, reciting one tragedy to another tragedy in his own experience, and he concluded, "There's nothing left for me to do but die." Now it was the policeman's turn. The policeman began to talk about life and the meaning of life and the purpose of life, and pretty soon the 10 minutes were over. The policeman took his hand, he extended it out towards the young man. The young man took his hand, he placed it into the policeman's hand, and they both jumped. It's okay to laugh. It's a joke. It's not a real story. I heard Tony Evans tell that story many years ago, and the point of the story is this: hopelessness has a way of multiplying itself, doesn't it? And I got to tell you that most of our problems when we find ourselves hopeless is the problem of, and this is our topic for this morning, it's a problem of focus. What are we focused on? Are we focused on our problems? Are we focused on our situations? Are we focused on our circumstances? Or are we focused on the one who can do something about it? Think about that. We spend a lot of times, we call it worry, don't we? We spend a lot of times thinking about things we cannot change, worrying about things that we cannot change, trying to figure out how to change things for things that we cannot change. And we waste all of that time when in fact we should just simply put our lives, our situations, our circumstances, and our problems in the hands of the one who can do something about it. Think about all the energy that we waste, all the time that we waste focusing on our problems instead of focusing on the one who can do something about it. Now, this sermon series that we've been in now for some time is entitled Vocabulary Development. So our word for today is the word focus. Now, we'll get to a similar biblical Greek word here in just a moment. But our word today is focus. Now, focus means to cause to be concentrated. What are you focused on? Many of you don't know this. Some of you maybe do. Catherine is a runner. She likes to run. Now, I've kind of got one of those things. You know, I don't run unless somebody's chasing me. I don't run. You know, there's a proverb that says the wicked run when no one's chasing them. And so I just think running is not biblical. But she's a runner, and she's getting ready here in a couple of weeks. She's got a half marathon that she's running, and I said, "I'll meet you at the end." But she likes to run. And when you read and you know people who do long-distance running, they'll tell you focus when you're running is really, really important. In fact, I was reading an article yesterday about this. They say that runners who focus on their breathing or who focus on the pain that they're in or focus on the fatigue, it says they actually use more energy when they're focused on the problems that they're experiencing while running instead of focusing on something else. Well, we have that same problem as Christians running the Christian life. We have this tendency to focus on all of these other things instead of putting our attention on the Lord Jesus. And this is exactly what the scriptures tell us to do. Now, I'm going to give you in a few moments multiple different passages that I want you to write down and I want you to commit to heart and memory. But primarily today, we're just going to look at two verses here in the book of Colossians. So turn, if you would, to Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, I'm going to read these first two verses in the English Standard Version, which is what I normally preach out of, but I'm going to reread verse 1 in the NIV, and I'll tell you why here in just a moment. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says this: "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth." Now, the reason I'm going to read for you the NIV, NIV is what we call a dynamic equivalent. In other words, it's got some interpretive pieces. There's actually no word in the Greek for heart, but it's certainly implied, and that's why the translators of the NIV say it this way in verse 1. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." And so what he says here in Colossians chapter 1, or I'm sorry, in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, is set your heart and set your mind on things above. You got it? Set your heart and set your mind on things that are above. The Greek word is the word phroneo, and it means this: to give careful consideration to something, to set one's mind on, to be intent on. Now, it clearly applies here to believers because he says at the very beginning, if then you have been raised with Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this applies to you. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. This is an imperative. He says, do this. As a follower of Jesus, you are to set your heart and to set your mind on things above. In fact, not only is it a command, it's in the present active voice. And what that means is keep on doing it. Don't just do it today and forget and not do it tomorrow. This is to fill your thought life, to fill your heart with the things of God. It is a call to action. Listen, we've all got problems. We've all got seasons where we are in the valley. Sometimes those seasons are, some seasons are longer than others, but we all go through seasons when we are in the valley. We'll come up on the mountaintop, we'll go back. You know, you see how a mountain range works, don't you? You go up one valley, go up one mountain, you get on the top, but there's a valley that's right behind it or right in front of it, and you just keep doing it. And that's the vicissitudes of life, the ups and the downs of life. I was talking to Mike Miner. He came up to me right before the service, and his company laid off a bunch of people here recently. That's a problem if you have a wife and a child and a child on the way. He came to me this morning. He says, "I've got another problem." I said, "What's your problem?" He says, "Now I got two job offers. Now I got to decide." But see, you focus on the one. I talked to him through this. He wasn't focused on the problem. He knew it was there, but he was focused on the one who could do something about it. That's what we're to do. We're to be focused. Now, the first thing he says in verse 1 is, he says, set your heart on things above. So what's the difference between set your heart on something and set your mind on it? Well, to set your heart on something, he's talking about our desires. In other words, your interests, your attitudes, your ambitions, your outlook, all of these things should be focused on Christ. What you are doing is you are making your desire more for him than for anything else. That's what it means to set your heart on it. Listen, I'm like a lot of you in this room. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Cue image on the screen. And I root for him just like anybody else. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of glad it's an open week. There he is. I'm kind of glad it's an open week. I kind of need a week off. You know, not only do the players need a bye week, we fans need a bye week too sometimes. Amen? Calvin? Luis? Anyway, moving on. But the fact of the matter is, Abigail just saw it. The fact of the matter is that's not what our real desire should be for. Listen, if you love the Dallas Cowboys more than you love Jesus, you got some reordering you need to do. Right? Our desires should be for Christ. Why? It tells us. Because Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. When you think about what a lot of people do, now the Bible tells us not to gossip, right? And everybody knows the Bible says that, right? We shouldn't gossip, right? How many of you know gossip takes place a lot in the church? Not only in the church, but outside the church and everywhere else. In fact, I've seen this before. Some people have a subtle way of gossiping. You know what they do? They call them and say, you know what? We need to pray for so-and-so about such-and-such. Instead of just saying, let's just pray for so-and-so. No, we got to pray for so-and-so about such-and-such. That's just another form of gossip oftentimes. But the fact of the matter is talking to each other about our problems aren't going to solve them usually. Now, there are things, and we're to bear one another's burdens. There are things that we should talk about. But we should never talk to somebody else about our problems until we've talked to God about our problems. Because the Bible says that He is the one that is seated at the right hand of the Father. You know what that means? To be at the right hand of the Father is to be in the seat of power and privilege. And that's where Jesus is. In fact, Jesus is praying for you even now. The Bible says that He lives, and He lives, to make intercession for the saints. Why wouldn't you pray to the one who's praying for you and the one who can do something about it? That's what it means to set our hearts on things above, to pray and to give ourselves, to have desire for Him above anything else. To set our hearts on things above is to have our desire be for Him. And then he says in the second verse, set your minds on things that are above. Now there is a word in the Greek for mind, and it's used here in a verbal tense, and it literally means this: be minded. Think about these things. In other words, here, he's not talking about desires, but he's talking about values. And values are what we think about. This is what we think about most is what we value the most. And if you think about your problems more than you do Jesus, then you must value your problems more than you do Jesus. Switch that around. Get your mind set on Him. This is what the psalmist says. On your word, I what? I meditate. I think about day and night. Your thought life should be consumed with God and the things of God. Listen, like anybody else, I've been in the valley. I've walked through the valley. There have been times in my life where I couldn't see the way out. You know, if I saw a light coming, I'd swear it was an oncoming train. I didn't think it was the way out. But usually the problem was right between my two ears. It was what I was thinking about. And you know, when I would begin to shift in my thinking, guess what else began to change? My attitude. My actions. It's all about focus. You know, over these years of pastoring, I've spent a lot of time counseling folks. Can I tell you that the end result of all pastoral counseling has been the same? I've never once fixed anybody's financial problems. I've never once fixed anybody's relationship problems. I've never once fixed anybody's job problems. The end of all pastoral counseling is this: get your eyes on Jesus, because He can do something about it. Focus. It really is about focus. Focus on Him. Now you have to realize that when you gave your life to Christ, you had a domain change. In other words, you're no longer really a citizen of this world, but you become a citizen of heaven. When you give your life to Jesus, you've had a domain change. And your job, even as we pray, is that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you're the conduit through which that's supposed to happen. We're to live under His heavenly rule. So we're to set our minds on those things, because we're to live out the Christian life in this world. Yes, we live in a fallen world. Yes, we live in a world that's not going to think the way that we do, that's not going to act the way that we want them to or that we expect them to. Why? Because it's a fallen world. But we don't have to succumb to that. And we're not to be ruled by it. But we're to set our minds on things above. We're to set our hearts on things above. And we're to live out the heavenly life here on earth. And that is what God has called us to do. Listen, one day this is all going to pass away. But the eternal is forever. You know what we're doing right now? We're practicing for heaven. That's what we're doing. You know, I've always thought it kind of funny, people who complain about the church service going too long. Some of you are guilty of it, aren't you? Why? We're getting ready for heaven. This is what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to sing praises to God all day and all night. Actually, not night, because there is no night. Just all the time, that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing His praises. We're going to serve Him. We're going to love Him. We're going to serve one another. That's what heaven's going to be like. So we're just getting ready for heaven. That's what we're doing. We are practicing here and now. So our desires should be for Him. Our values should align with His. But a lot of this has to do simply with focus. Listen to these other passages. 2 Corinthians 4:16, this is one of my favorite ones. He says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." In other words, what he says there is, whatever you're going through now, it'll be worth it someday when you see Jesus. "And while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are transient or temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal." In other words, get your eyes on Jesus. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise," which there's only one thing worthy of praise, "think about these things." In other words, get your mind on Jesus. Hebrews 12 in verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us," doing what? "Looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And then one of my favorite passages from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on you." You see, peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace, or a lack of peace, is the absence of God. "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Jesus lived a very focused life, didn't he? Jesus was born with a purpose. He was born with a mission. He was born to go to the cross for you and for me. And he never lost focus. All the time he was directed, you know, he told, in fact, the first miracle he ever performed was the wedding in Cana. And his mother came to him and said, "Jesus, they've run out of wine." He says, "Listen, my hour is not yet come," but he knew his hour was coming. He knew why he had come. He was focused, and he stayed focused all the way to the cross. And even on the cross, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53 says that Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him. Imagine thousands and thousands of angels on the parapets of heaven just waiting for a whisper. And Jesus could have been taken off that cross, but he was focused. He knew why he had come. He knew what his purpose in life was. He knew what his mission was. He was focused. And you and I, if we want to have purpose, if we want to have meaning, if we want to have hope, we have to stay focused on Him. Now, if you forget this and you find yourself walking through a difficult circumstance, I'm happy to meet with you. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the same answer I'm going to give you this morning. Focus on Him. He loves you. I love you too, but He loves you a whole lot more than I do. He cares about you. I care about you, but He cares a whole lot more about you than I do. I'd love to help everyone, and He can help everyone. Get your eyes on Jesus. One of my favorite hymns, and we're going to sing it here in just a minute, is "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," and it truly captures what these verses are about. These words are familiar to you. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, He passed, and we will follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's bow our hearts together. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've caught a glimpse of Him today, I want to invite and encourage you to give your life to Him. It is a decision that you will never, ever regret. It's a decision that will change not only your eternity, but it'll change your life today. Jesus says, whoever comes to Him, He will not cast out. So if you come to Him in faith, if you come to Him trusting in Him, you can be certain that He receives you as His child. You come to Jesus this morning. Turn your eyes upon Him. Cast your burdens and your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He loves you. If you are a believer, a follower of Jesus, but you are in need of a church home, come. We are not a perfect church. I am not a perfect pastor. But we'll walk alongside you. Walk together in faith, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Maybe you've been wondering, wandered away from the faith. Maybe you were here physically, but spiritually you weren't. Emotionally you weren't. But today you realize that the problem wasn't Him, it was you. You had a focus. You were focused on the wrong things. You were focused on something else. And so you want to rededicate, recommit your life this morning. You do that today. Let God lead you in whatever decision you need to make. Put your faith and trust in Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Father, by the work of Your Spirit, do what only You can do, and that is draw people unto Yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.